Be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America or search for us at keyword Voice America. This is VoiceAmericaKids.com.
Thank you. Welcome to the program on Voice America Kids Network. I'm Cassie Frazier, and today I have in the studio with me Hollywood Yates. How are you, Hollywood?
I'm good, Cassie. How are you?
I'm great. All right. I would love to sort of shorten up your intro about you, but I can't. So can you kind of give a short summary of what your job is?
Of what my job is?
Mm-hmm, of what you do.
A short summary would be I'm an entertainer.
You're an entertainer. There you go. Okay.
That's the easiest way to say it. But I've done just about everything in the entertainment industry. I've been a professional rodeo clown, mm-hmm. bullfighter for 26 years. I was Wolf on American Gladiators for 2 seasons. I've done some other acting and some Disney stuff and CSI. And I'm also a Southern rock singer.
That's cool. All right. So we're going to start off and go to more of your personal life, if that's all right. So where are you from?
Well, I was originally born in Gallup, New Mexico, on an Indian reservation, but I grew up in Phoenix, Arizona.
That's cool. And do you have any siblings?
I do not. I'm an only child.
That's cool, though.
Once they have perfection, you know, they try not to, you know, mess with them.
Oh, goodness. And do you have a wife?
I do have a wife. My wife, Sherry, is my best friend and a beautiful woman, and I'm very lucky to have her.
Mm-hmm. And do you have any kids?
I have, right now, 9 children, but they're all furry.
Okay, so, got me there.
No human babies, mm-hmm. but we have a lot of animals.
And tell us all your 9 children that you have.
Well, we've got 2 horses, Coyote and, no, Coyote passed away. We have Kiana and, mm-hmm. I just went blank on Kahlua.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, those two, mm-hmm. those are the horses. And then we have 4 dogs. That would be Lacey, Tanner, Piper, and Lena. We have 2 wolves, and that's Bodie and Lucy. And then we have 1 cat, and that's TC.
That's so cool. No fish, though.
No fish.
You have to have real animals.
Real animals that you can hold and pet and
yeah.
can love on you and that can sleep in bed with you.
Mm-hmm. All right. And how'd you end up in Arizona?
Well, my mom and my father got a divorce when I was just a baby, and my mother moved us to Phoenix. Actually, her and Gilbert Ortega started up Gilbert Ortega Jewelry Stores, and she was part owner in the one here in Phoenix, and so that's what moved us here.
That's really cool. And when you were little, what did you do for fun?
I did everything. I was always outside playing. You know, my mom, she was a single mother, so she was always working, and so I was always out playing. I played baseball, mm-hmm. football, basketball, soccer, you know, pretty much any sport there is other than ice hockey. Mm-hmm. There wasn't a whole lot of ice
right.
hockey in Phoenix, Arizona
right.
at the time. You know, if I wasn't playing sports, I was outside running around, climbing trees, climbing mm-hmm. buildings, you know, jumping off of things. So I was an active kid and just out there having fun.
Mm-hmm. And it was awesome because you got the house all to yourself.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. All right. And I found out that at the age of 7, you were an Elvis impersonator. Why did you choose to be an impersonator?
Well, because I couldn't be Elvis himself.
Oh, there you go.
I had to impersonate uh-huh. him. I came down when I was 7 years old, the day that Elvis passed away, and I watched all the TV and all the news. I mean, it was the biggest thing that was going on mm-hmm. Earth that day. I mean, that was the news to mm-hmm. that day. And just to see how one man could affect the entire world the way he did, I decided that, you know, I wanted to be like that. I wanted to be an entertainer, and I wanted to be able to affect people. And so I started actually doing an Elvis impersonation deal, and I started doing it at my school's talent show.
Mm-hmm.
And then my grandfather had some nightclubs, and so I kept doing the deal at nightclubs, and mm-hmm. that's actually how I got into the entertainment industry.
Is that like sort of like how you started your career? Was
that's
at the age of 7?
That's how I started.
That's cool.
When I was 7.
And did you impersonate anybody else besides Elvis?
Not really impersonate anybody else, but as I was getting a little older and starting to do different songs, I mean, I sang other people's music and mm-hmm. everything, but I didn't dress like them or
right.
anything. Elvis was the only one I actually impersonated. But I sang Kenny Rogers and Mickey Gilley Johnny Cash and Waylon and, you know, all those. So I grew up loving music and doing all of it.
Which one was your favorite? You'd have to say Elvis.
Elvis is my favorite. He's most talented entertainer there ever was.
And did you get any videos of you, like, singing and dancing?
You know, I don't know if anybody has any videos.
Really? Or
that.
Any pictures that you could look back on?
There's a few pictures somewhere. You know, we didn't have a video camera a whole lot, so I didn't have a lot of that kind of footage.
Right, that they have now, where you can take everything.
Yeah, I didn't grow up like Bieber.
You know? Yeah, there you go. And did the audience seem to enjoy your performances?
Well, they loved it.
They loved it. Yeah, they thought it was a great idea.
I put a lot of heart into it, and I worked really hard at it, so I was good at it.
That's really cool. And what was your favorite song to sing in particular?
Oh, there was a few, but Don't Be Cruel, Teddy Bear, All Shook Up. You know,
oh, that's
all good
so
ones.
Cute. All right. And when you were little, did you always think when you got older you were always going to be an impersonator?
No. I knew that I would be an actor, a singer, that I would try to get to that level of an entertainer as Elvis, but didn't plan on being an impersonator. No, I wanted to be my own artist and be myself, but be out there and entertaining.
Right. Thank you. You're listening to Voice America Kids Network. I'm Cassie Frazier, and today we're talking with Hollywood Yates. All right, so back on to being your impersonator and things like that. Did you all, like you said, did you always love being in the spotlight?
Oh, always.
Always?
You know, I didn't come from a big family. Some people, you know, they come from big families, so they have to fight for the attention,
right.
You know, and that's how they become that way. I didn't come from a big family. I was an only child, but because I was an only child, maybe it was, you know, I just ran with it. And but yeah, I always liked having the attention on me. I always liked being in the spotlight. And, you know, and even now, the bigger the crowd, the better, because I get that energy from the crowd and I am able to put it back out to them.
That's really cool. And when you were going to school as a kid, did you know that you were going to be an actor?
Oh, yeah. I knew I'd be an actor, a singer. I mean, like I said, I wanted to be an all-around entertainer. Because back in the day, you had to do it all. You had to sing. You had to dance. You had to be able to act. You had to do everything. And you had to be good at it.
Right.
You know, nowadays, with all the auto-tune and everything, you know, you can take... I mean, they did it at the Academy Awards, where they took clips from movies, did auto-tune to them, and made a song out of it. And it actually sounded okay. You know, so that just shows that you don't have to have talent. You know, but I think true talent will still always end up winning out, and the true talent will stay around forever.
That's cool. All right, when you were little, did you ever meet anybody famous?
I'm you know, offhand, I can't think of everybody, but, you know, I met some basketball players. David Greenwood from the Chicago Bulls came over to the house and had dinner. My mom had met him and invited him over, and so he came over and had dinner. You know, met a few different people as I was growing up through my grandfather's nightclubs, because he would have singers in there and everything. And then once I kind of started fighting bulls is when I really started meeting a lot of famous people. I did a movie. I was just an extra. I was supposed to do stunts, but ended up just being an extra on Harley Davidson and Marlboro Man.
Oh, that's cool.
So I got to meet and visit with Mickey Rourke for quite a bit, and he's a really good guy. And then through the rodeo, a lot of other people were fans of rodeo, so they became fans of mine. And I got to meet, you know, like I became friends with Jay Buhner, Norm Charlton, King Griffey Jr., and A-Rod when they all played for the Seattle Mariners, because I did a lot of rodeos up in that area. Terry Bradshaw came and was a color commentator for a bull riding I did on Fox.
So cool.
And he showed up and was like, he's telling me he's a fan of mine, you know, and I'm like, I've been watching this guy play football. And you know, sorry to say, he was my second favorite quarterback, because, of course, the best quarterback in the world was Roger Staubach from the Dallas Cowboys at the time. So I had to tell him that. So I started getting to meet a lot of cool people once I started rodeoing.
That's really cool. And were you ever, like, starstruck by any of them?
No.
Never? Have you ever been starstruck?
I don't think I've ever been starstruck, because, you know, everybody's the same. I mean, we all put our pants on the same. We put our shirts on the same. Some people just have more money than others, and, you know, but, you know, the best people I've met have actually not even been stars. You know, the best people I've met have been people that, you know, that I work events with, and they're just really good people. And you know, I've met some cool people that are stars and they have a lot of money, but they're still down to earth and cool. You know, I guess the closest you could say to being starstruck was I had met Matthew McConaughey at a award show.
Oh.
Invited him to a party. He came and hung out with us. Mm-hmm. And then we swapped phone numbers, and I texted him on my way home.
Mm-hmm.
And then a few hours later, when I was home watching TV, I got a text message from Matthew McConaughey.
That's
and I was
so
like,
cool.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, you know? That's pretty cool.
So, I mean, but wasn't really starstruck, but
mm-hmm.
it was very cool.
It was really cool. All right. At the age of 23, you were a professional rodeo circuit as a bullfighter, right? And a rodeo clown.
Yep. Actually, at 23, I had already been doing it. I've been fighting bulls for 8 years at that point.
Wow.
I started at 15.
Oh, wow.
And, but by the time I turned 23, that was my rookie year in mm-hmm. the Wrangler bullfights in the Professional Rodeo Cowboys Association. And I qualified for the national finals for the first time at that time.
That's really cool. What made you go for bullfighting when you were going to be an actor?
You know, friends of mine were bull riders, and they wanted me to start riding with them, but I didn't really want to do that. But being
mm-hmm.
a clown, I could still be an athlete and an entertainer. And so
mm-hmm.
it was something I liked, and so I just started doing it and loved it.
That's really cool. And when you say clown, did you have to, like, dress up like a clown?
Oh, yeah, I did.
Yeah,
I did
you
clown
did.
Clown acts and everything. And so,
that's so
but
funny.
That's just, you know, that's the fun part of the job.
What did your parents think of that?
My mom didn't like it at all.
Really?
Yeah, but she got used to it after a while, and my dad, he was never around, so it really didn't matter.
Mm-hmm. Did you catch any of that on tape?
Oh, yeah, I've got all kinds of stuff on
and
tape.
And what, do you ever, like, rewatch it?
Every now and then, yeah.
Do you just, like, laugh at yourself, like, what
no,
were you thinking, or did you love
it?
Because you still do it, yeah.
Yeah.
That's so cool. You still dress up and everything?
Yep.
That's so cool. All right, let's take a break. I'm Cassie Frazier. Keep it right here. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
Stay connected. Sign up for our newsletter. Go beyond your favorite Voice America shows. Visit iradioblog.com. Kids these days are so connected to the media that they can't help but be surrounded by news and politics. Today's kids get more information than kids of past generations, and because of that, they have more informed opinions. Kids today may not be able to vote yet, but they can certainly influence voters and issues with their voices. Tune in every week for America Today and talk about the issues and influence the decision makers. America Today airs every Thursday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids channel.
Now there's a new destination for video content, VoiceAmerica.tv, just like our radio channels and so much more. Voice America Variety, Health and Wellness, Business, Sports, Green Talk, Power Up Motorsports, and Seventh Wave Network now have their own video channel components. Plus, check out exclusive programming, including movies, music, educational courses, science and history, current events, and short features. High-definition, premier-quality programs available 24/7. VoiceAmerica.tv. If you think you've seen online TV like this before, let us surprise you.
Behind the Line is all about the inside of sports from a kid's point of view. This is a look at all of the action from behind the line. Join your host every Wednesday at 3 p.m., whether you're a kid or was a kid at some time in your life. We'll run down all of the scores, talk about the games of the past week, and preview what's coming up in the next week. You'll want to take notes because this is good stuff. The place to be Wednesdays at 3, that's 6 p.m. Eastern, is the Voice America Kids channel for Behind the Line. Want to laugh yourself silly over the crazy happenings of the celeb world and beyond? Tune in to Behind the Mask on Voice America Kids. Your hosts will uncover the celebrities you know and love, along with some that you might not know in this country, but they are admired across the world. But it's not just the famous that need to look out. We'll look inside the music biz, stage, and of course, the big screen. Listen to Behind the Mask every Thursday at 8 p.m. on Broadway and 5 p.m. Hollywood side on the Voice America Kids channel.
Do not attempt to adjust your radio. We are in complete control.
You're listening to Voice America Kids.
Welcome back to the program on Voice America Kids Network. I'm Cassie Frazier, and today we're talking with Hollywood Yates. All right, Hollywood, we're going to get back to you being a bullfighter.
Okay.
All right, and a rodeo clown. So I have read that you've won many awards for bullfighting. Can you tell us and explain what those are?
Well, we had the Wrangler bullfights going on for years, which was a an event to show that the rodeo clowns weren't just idiots out there running around, that they were actually good athletes. And so what it was they would have three bullfighters at the same rodeo, and after the bull riding was over, we would have another event called the Wrangler Bullfights. Each bullfighter got 70 seconds with a bull of his own, and it was basically like a game of tag. So you would, the more danger you put yourself into and got yourself out of without getting hit and run over by the bull, the more points you got. And so you'd make circles, you'd get close, you'd turn your back to them, you'd grab their horns, you'd run straight at them, jump them head to tail, whatever, you know. But the more danger you were in and then got out of without getting hit and run over, the more points you got. And then you'd have a first, second, and third place winner. At each rodeo, you know, you'd have these events, and they would be like 3 days long or 4 days long. And so you would have your average winner after those 3-4 days, and that would be the, you know, like Salinas bullfight champion. And so I won Salinas 3 years in a row.
That's cool.
And that's the most prestigious bullfight in the country. And then there was also, you know, every rodeo, well, not everyone, but there were a lot of rodeos that had these. So, like, I won Fort Madison, Iowa 3 or 4 times, Sterling, Colorado a couple times, Salinas 3 times. Well, throughout the year, you'd go to all these events. And then at the end of the year, they would take the top 6 guys in the world to the National Finals Rodeo. And they would compete for 4 nights at the National Finals Rodeo for the World Championship. And I qualified for the World Finals, for the NFR National Finals Rodeo, twice as a bullfighter. And I didn't win the world at the NFR. I placed, I think, second 1 year and sixth 1 year. So that means that 1 year I was second best in the world, and 1 year I was sixth best in the world. And then another year I was voted in to be the barrel man for those guys. So that meant I was one of 2 barrel men that got voted in. So we were the best barrel men in the bullfights that year, and so we got voted in. And it was, you know, a lot of fun. So those were, you know, the awards I've won. And then also there was another deal that used to be around. It's not any longer. It was called Bull Riders Only, which is now what the PBR is. And I was chosen to work 2 finals there. So because I was chosen as one of the best bullfighters, myself and Donnie Sparks, we were basically the world champion bullfighters for those years in the BRO.
That's really cool. Were you ever scared at all?
You get nervous a little bit because, you know, you're dealing with animals that are, you know, 2,000 pounds, and they can hurt you and kill you if, you know, if they hit you the right way or get you down and maul you. So there's always that sense of nervousness, and that, you know, it's more of an adrenaline rush, but never really scared. You know, a lot of bullfighters will say if somebody says they're not scared, they're lying. Well, I never was scared.
You know,
but yeah, you have that sense of urgency, and that adrenaline's going, and, you know, but you're not necessarily scared because you know what your job is, you know how to do your job, and you do it well.
That's cool. Was there ever, like, a favorite bull that you got to
No, I mean, you know, there's so many bulls that I fought throughout the years. I mean, I liked a bull named Snickers. He was cool. He would come out and buck a guy off, and then he would spin around, and I would sit down on his head and let him throw me up in the air.
Oh, gosh.
And then I'd come down and land, and I'd put my fists up like I was going to fight him, and he'd back up and paw the ground, and then he would leave. So it was it was good for the show.
Yeah.
Then there's bulls that I didn't like to see.
You know, yeah.
Like there was a bull named Dr. Kevorkian.
Oh, gosh.
And he got the name because he hurt people, you know, and he had gotten me down, and he had broke some ribs, separated some intercostal muscles, tore some of my ab muscles, and, you know, but he beat me twice, I beat him twice, so we're even.
Do you still do it that fiercely?
Not as much, no. I only have a few rodeos anymore. You know, I just got back from Chicago, Illinois, where I did a bull riding, and the week before that was in North Dakota. I've got one coming up in May in Bakersfield, California. So I still do some, but I don't go, like, I used to leave the house in February and get home in October.
Oh, wow.
Because I was busy on the road the whole time. And I've slowed that down a lot because I'm focusing more on my singing and my acting.
That's really cool. So all of us know that you're best known for playing Wolf on American Gladiators.
Oh, that's right.
What was that experience like?
That was a lot of fun. I mean, that, I don't know if that was, it's hard to say which was the best job, fighting bulls or being a wolf, you know, because, I mean, I'd get up, I'd go to the gym, I'd work out, I'd come back, eat breakfast, I'd get ready, I'd go to work, and I got to go to work and beat people up. And, you know, I mean, it was a lot of fun, and we would be there all day, and I had my family of gladiators there, and, you know, we would sit there and work out together, we'd eat together. After we got done doing the show, we'd all go back, and most of us lived in the same apartment complex, and so we would barbecue, and we'd sit in the hot tub, and just, you know, it was a cool little family. So we had a lot of fun with that, and, you know, I would have to say that's probably my favorite job so far, and because, I mean, it did give me worldwide fame. You know, the show's playing in 91 countries.
Oh, wow.
It was playing here. We had 11 million, 12 million viewers every week here. So, you know, anywhere I fly, people know who I am. So that's pretty cool.
That's really cool. You're listening to Voice America Kids Network. I'm Cassie Frazier, and today we're talking to American Gladiator.
Wolf.
All right, Hollywood. So how did you get cast for the part?
I was actually doing a job for a company called Jantana, which is a spray tan company that spray tans all the competitors for bodybuilding shows. And I was at the Mr. and Miss Olympia bodybuilding contest in Las Vegas, Nevada, spray tanning all the competitors, and was at the Fit Expo where they do the women's Miss Olympia contest. Had tanned everybody, got them up on stage. You know, that part of the show was over, and so I was kind of just walking through the Fit Expo, looking at all the T-shirts and all the supplements and everything that they had. And the casting director saw me and walked over and said, "Hey, have you ever watched American Gladiators?" And I said, "Yeah, I remember watching that show. I mean, I watched it all the time." He said, "Well, we're bringing it back. We're going to put it on NBC. It's going to be bigger, better, and we think you'd make a great gladiator." And I said, "Well, you're right, but I'm going to have to say no," because at the time I was actually negotiating a deal with WWE to be a wrestler with WWE. And for the next couple of days, the casting director kept pursuing me while we were in Vegas, and so I went and tried out, and then a couple of days later, I had to fly back to Vegas and do a deal, and I kept, in the meantime, emailing WWE, trying to find out what's going on with the contract, and they ended up saying, they thought I was pulling a power play, because I told them that this other show was interested, so they said, "Well, we're not interested in you anymore. Good luck with that." I said, "Okay," so I called Gladiators up, said, "All right, I'm yours."
That's awesome.
You know, the rest is history, and WWE came up 3 days after the show was airing and offered me a job back.
That's cool. How did you get into spray tanning people?
My wife is a national level figure competitor and fitness model, and we had paid a lot of money to get her spray tanned at one of these shows, and I was like, "Man, you're going to be doing 6-7 shows a year. We're going to end up spending a lot of money in tanning. I can just buy the unit, and I can spray tan you." And when I bought the unit, the company actually asked me if I would go do some shows for them and help them, because they were short on some help. So I started just kind of helping them out, and that way it taught me how to tan better so that I could tan my wife for her shows.
There you go. And is that how you met her?
No, I met my wife through rodeo. She, at the time was married to a guy that thought he was a bull rider. He wasn't good at it, and he just wasn't a really good guy. And once they got divorced, and my relationship ended with another person, you know, we started being friends and started talking, and, you know, just everything worked out right.
What did she think about you playing Wolf?
You know, she'd get embarrassed when she would watch it on TV, you know, especially because we'd always go to this big sports bar and watch it with a bunch
goodness.
Of people. And so, you know, me running around in spandex howling, you know, she kind of would get a little embarrassed about it. But then when we would go out, you know, and people, you know, would be howling as we're walking into a place, or, you know, a restaurant might give us a free meal or something. Then she thought it was pretty cool.
That was pretty cool. And you do play a tough guy, but you don't really seem like it in person.
Well, there's a time to be tough and there's a time to not be tough.
Yeah,
you know, and for the most part, I'm a pretty easygoing guy. It's really hard to get me angry or upset with somebody. And the people that have gotten me upset at them, have only done that once.
Yeah.
They don't do it again.
Mm-hmm. They're kind of intimidated or scared a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And did you think it was cool that you got to play this big, tough guy?
Yeah. I mean, because it's just, you know, it's just part of me. I mean, like, mm-hmm. the producers didn't tell me what to do. They, as a matter of fact, the producers kept yelling cut and
really?
Coming out before, like, before an event would start, they mm-hmm. would come out and tell me, back off, you know, don't
really?
Be so mean, don't be so angry, don't be such a jerk.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, that's just me. When I'm in competitive mode, that's what you get,
mm-hmm.
you know, because the wolf is me. You know,
right.
it's not something that they came up with. It's not something that they said, hey, you know, do this or do that or howl or
mm-hmm.
I just, that's who I am.
Mm-hmm. And when you read your script for Wolf, did you sort of impersonate it a little bit more and over-exaggerate?
Well, like I said, they didn't give me a script. No, it was just, you guys are competitors, and we came up with names, and between NBC and myself, we both came up with the name
mm-hmm.
Wolf separately, and
oh,
when
wow.
we came to each other and said, okay, what about this name, it was the same name.
It was
name.
The same, wow.
And, but they didn't tell me to do anything. They just said, that's your name, Wolf.
Right.
And I just ran with it because being in the entertainment industry my whole life, I know how to build a character.
Mm-hmm.
And so I built the wolf.
That's really cool. And you also do comedy roles also,
yes.
too. Can you tell us about those that you do?
I can. I was on Disney XD's I'm in the Band as Ernesto the Besto,
mm-hmm.
the band's former roadie turned cage fighter who's
mm-hmm.
basically trying to destroy them.
Oh, wow. And was that a great experience?
Oh, it was a lot of fun. You know, the whole crew, the cast and crew on that show are amazing people. I had a recurring role on there the first season. The second season, they didn't have me come back. The third season is still a possibility because
mm-hmm.
I actually stopped by the last day of shooting in the second season.
Oh, wow.
Just to say hi
mm-hmm.
and to everybody. And everybody was, you know, coming over, giving me hugs.
Mm-hmm.
They're really good people.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much. Let's take a break. I'm Cassie Frazier. Keep it right here. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Do you believe in the supernatural? Well, some do and some don't. Which is why Beyond the Third Dimension looks at both sides. You have one host who believes in ghosts, while the other can't think of anything more ridiculous. Put them together and you get some great discussion and some real discoveries and exploration of the paranormal, and then some. Tune in to Beyond the Third Dimension, airing Tuesdays at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Kids. And try not to be afraid of things that go bump in the night.
Follow the Voice America Talk Radio Network on Twitter. We're at Voice America TRN. You'll get the latest fix on what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and general happenings that you should know about at the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Now you don't have to miss anything when you're away from your home or office. Just go to twitter.com/Voice America TRN or follow along with us at Voice America TRN, the Voice America Talk Radio Network. We're on the cutting edge of social media.
Can you keep up?
Kids face very tough and very real issues every single day. It can be bad. It can be ugly. Now there's something good that can help. Tune in to The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly on the Voice America Kids channel. We'll discuss the issues and provide solutions and connections to solutions that you will be able to use. Our show goes right to the heart of today's kids and beyond. Your parents will probably want to listen in too. The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly airs Mondays at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 Eastern on Voice America Kids. You just love your pets. But sometimes they can get to be a handful. And just when you think you have them under control, that's when things get, well, crazy. For help, tune in to Paws Around the World. You'll get the inside secrets on keeping your pet the friend it's supposed to be, along with stories to keep you warm and fuzzy. Listen Fridays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Kids.
You're listening to Voice America Kids. Real kids, real talk radio.
Welcome back to the program on Voice America Kids Network. I'm Cassie Frazier, and today we're talking with American Gladiator Wolf, also known as Hollywood Yates.
How are you?
I'm great. All right, we're going to get back to talking about every single thing that you've done.
Okay.
So we're going to start with your acting roles, like CSI NY, I'm in the Band, The Unjust, When Shadows Die, and Vampire Slayers. So can you tell us about that, starting with CSI NY?
Well, CSI New York, the stunt coordinator actually called me, and the producers were looking for an actor for this spot, but the stunt coordinator, because the role had a lot of fight scenes, he wanted a stunt actor. That way he didn't have to try to hide things with camera angles and everything.
Right.
He wanted a guy that could just go in there, do the fights, and do the acting, and you know. And so I went out, read for the part, and they liked me, and they kept going back and forth between me and this other guy, and the other guy was just an actor, but they ended up giving him the role. And the stunt coordinator, because I had come out and everything and did a good job with that, he ended up calling me back and said, you know what, they went with this other guy, but I'm going to give you this other role if that's all right with them, and give you a fight scene. He said, it's a smaller deal, but, you know, if you want it, it's yours. And I said, yeah, I would love it, you know. So I came back out, and we did a really cool fight scene. I played the Happy Lumberjack. The whole deal was about, like, this fight club, but all the fighters, like, dressed up as characters. So you'd have a gladiator fighting the Viking in an office building, and then he had the Viking fight the Happy Lumberjack in an underground parking lot, and it was a really fun shoot to do. Norm, the stunt coordinator, great guy to work for, and so hopefully, you know, he'll be calling me for some other stuff. Then let's see, When Shadows Die was a little low-budget film that some buddies of mine were working on, just doing some stunts, and they said, hey, can you ride your bike down here? We've got this scene. So I rode my bike, and actually my wife rode her bike down there, so we rode down together, and they ended up using both of us for this movie.
That's so cool.
And I did a nice air ratchet where they jerk you backwards up, and they jerked me up into some trees, like this monster was pulling me in. And then I break loose from the monster, and I come running out, and my other biker buddies think that I'm the monster coming out of the tree, so they ended up shooting me.
Oh, gosh.
So, but it was a fun little role. Then I did Vampire Slayers, where I played the lead vampire.
That's really awesome.
That was after everybody, and had a lot of fun with that role. We shot that in about a month's time, and there's been a few other, The Machined 2, with a local director here, Craig, shot that, and that was a pretty fun little deal. Gosh, I can't even think of all the independent films that I've worked on. You had mentioned Disney before, I'm in the Band. My role there was Ernesto the Besto, the former roadie slash cage fighter that's, you know, bent on destroying these guys, and had a recurring role there, and that was a lot of fun. I had a lot of lines. I got to work with some phenomenal actors, and you know, they still remain friends of mine, so I get to call them and talk to them every now and then, and stop in and see them when I'm in LA.
How did you get casted for the part? Did you go out and audition for it?
I went out and auditioned for I'm in the Band, and had a call back that same day. Did the call back, and then I was actually heading back to Arizona, and got the call that I got the part. So
that's awesome.
That was fun, and I went, and it was just for a one-time role. It was actually just a guest star role, and I got there, and I shot all week, and I was having so much fun that I was trying to figure out how to turn it into a one-time role. So I kept talking to the writers, kind of just joking around, saying, you know, I'm going to bust out of jail, because at the end of that show, I get thrown in jail.
Oh, gosh.
And so I kept telling them, I'm going to bust out of jail and come back and beat these guys in the Battle of the Bands.
Oh,
you know, I just kept throwing ideas out. And then the very last day of filming, when they're done filming, they introduce everybody to the crowd, and you come out and you take a bow, and, you know, that's the end of the night. Well, I came out wearing a shirt that said, Free Ernesto.
Oh, gosh,
and
that's
the producers
funny.
And the writers all thought it was funny, and and the actors all liked me, so they decided to write in another role for me, so
that's
it was
really
a lot
cool.
of fun.
That's awesome. You've also premiered in so many shows like The Today Show, VH1's Best Week Ever, Deal or No Deal, The Ellen DeGeneres Show, oh my goodness, GAC, CMT, Access Hollywood, Fox News Happy Hour, Fox and Friends.
I had a busy few months.
Yeah, yes. Did I forget any?
Probably, but I've probably forgotten a lot of them, too. I have a great publicist. Loudmouth Entertainment, Karen Talyer, she's awesome. And when I actually met her before I got the Gladiators, and I told her, I don't need a publicist right now, but when I do, you're going to be the person I call. As soon as I got the Gladiators, I called her, hired her. And what a publicist does is they basically make calls to all these shows and try to get you on them, and they get magazine articles and stuff like that. And so she got me busy, and she said that in the 4 months that I was doing a lot of stuff like the Ellen Show and all that, that I probably did more publicity than most country artists do in 2 years.
Wow.
So
that's
I was on like 36 flights in 30 days.
Oh,
there were nights where I'd wake up and not even know where I was. I thought I was home, but I was actually in New York.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you know, so it got to be pretty crazy.
That's awesome. You're listening to Voice America Kids Network. I'm Cassie Frazier, and we're talking with Hollywood Yates. All right, we're going to keep on talking about the shows that you premiered on.
Okay.
Starting with the Today Show.
The Today Show, I actually did the Today Show a couple times. One time it was just myself and Crush, who is Gina Carano. She's a great female fighter, MMA fighter. They flew us out to New York to do the Today Show and talk about the American Gladiators. This was probably after we had been on the air for about 3 or 4 weeks.
Oh, wow.
And then they made the announcement that day that we had been picked up for a second season, so that was pretty exciting. That trip was a busy trip because that's when we did like the Fox and Friends and all that, because all those places are in New York.
Right.
Then we went back out another time, and it was, I believe, myself, Titan, Siren, and Phoenix. And we all went out for the NBC Upfronts, which is when they're trying to get all their sponsors for the year, they bring all the stars of all their new TV shows in and all their old TV shows, and they do this big thing for a few days where the sponsors get to see what the new shows are, and they get to meet all the actors, and they have big parties and everything.
That's
really
cool.
It was pretty cool, and so when we went out for that, we also did the Today Show.
That's really cool. And were you ever nervous to go on the Today Show? No?
No.
It was just like...
That's just part of my job.
It was just part of your job.
Yeah.
What was involved with the VH1's Best Week Ever?
The VH1's Best Week Ever, I did a we did a little skit where one of the guys was showing up to work, and in order for him to get into the studio to do his job, he had to go down the hall, which I was standing in the hall with, you know, a big thing, and I was beating him up, and he was, it was kind of like the gauntlet on our show. He had to get past me to do his job, and so I beat him up a bunch, and then as he finally got into the studio and sat down at the deal, he spit all his teeth out, and so it was a lot of fun.
That's cool. And you were on Deal or No Deal.
Deal or No Deal, Howie Mandel called and asked us to come and help him. You know, he was getting tired of the banker, basically. And the banker's always mean to everybody.
Right.
So we came in. It was myself, Titan, Helga, and Mayhem, I believe. It was just the four of us. And we came in, and we basically grabbed the Mercedes that the banker owned, and we turned it over and... rolled it up on its top side, and we kicked the windows out, and I ripped one of the doors off, and they didn't show me ripping the door off though, so I was a little upset with that. And then we went inside, and we were just there for moral support for the guy that was actually competing.
Was he a fan of you?
Yes.
Yes, he was. Was he, like, starstruck and so excited to see you guys?
No, because at that point, he was already in there making a lot of money, so he just wanted to win that $1 million.
Oh, there you go. And you were also on the Ellen DeGeneres Show.
Yes.
What was that?
One of my favorite shows, too. It was fun. We didn't, like, I didn't get to do an interview with Ellen or anything. She was actually doing an interview with Layla Ali, who was one of the co-hosts of our show. And then... the doors opened up, and Titan and I actually fought each other on the joust pedestals with mm-hmm. the joust sticks, you know, just kind of to show what we do on the show mm-hmm. and everything. And so we had a good time, and I got my Ellen underwear, and so it was a lot of fun.
That's cool. And you were also on GAC and CMT.
Yep, GAC, CMT, those are all country networks, mm-hmm. and you know, I've done a few things, some red carpet stuff, and then one of the, well, CMT, I was actually on another television show that aired on that called Cowboy U, and it was a whole show about contestants that were coming in and learning how to be cowboys, mm-hmm. and they brought me in once every season, mm-hmm. just for one episode, to show them basically what I do as a bullfighter and how to maneuver around bulls, mm-hmm. and then we would put them in circles and let a bull out, and the last one to leave their circle was the winner. Mm-hmm. And so they would get hit, or would have to run, or you uh-huh. know. And so I was on that show, and then you know, like I said, a lot of red carpet stuff, mm-hmm. and CMT actually came out and filmed my first showcase out mm-hmm. in Nashville, because now I'm doing country music, and that's so I did a showcase. They came out, filmed it, and threw it up. So
that's awesome.
Done a lot of stuff.
And you've also done radio tours also, right?
Radio tours, those are fairly simple, because that's basically sitting at home, or I'd be on the road in New York, mm-hmm. and I would just get up, and I would call in, and we'd do a 2-hour basically deal where I would call an 800 number and they would connect me to radio stations all over the country.
Wow.
And I would do interviews with like 20 stations in 2 hours.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
What were some of the things that they asked you?
A lot of stuff that you're asking, mm-hmm. you know, just basically they'd ask me about the show and mm-hmm. about myself and you know, what my plans were after the show.
That's really cool. So you're constantly busy.
Constantly busy.
Constantly. And what does your wife think about that, you always being constantly
busy?
You know,
she likes it better when I'm busy, because it means I'm making money.
Yeah, there you go. Let's take a break. I'm Cassie Frazier. Keep it right here. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
Find out what's happening on the Voice America Talk Radio Network by keeping up with us on Twitter. You can find us at Voice America TRN.
The Terrence Rogers Show will take the world by storm. The topics are sometimes newsworthy, sometimes personal, as we explore fashion, entertainment, art, and more. Host Terrence Rogers has seen a lot of life experience in his few years of life. It's this experience that allows him to bring a fresh perspective to the table, and he holds nothing back. Tune in to The Terrence Rogers Show every Monday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Kids channel. You'll laugh, cry, and most importantly, this show will reach out and touch your life.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network wherever you go. In addition to listening live, you can check out information about your favorite talk show hosts, discover new talk show personalities, add shows to your list of favorites, and listen to all our show archives on demand. All from your iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market, and get ready to tune in. The Voice America mobile app, powered by Aircast.
What is Take Two? Take two crazy hosts, put them in front of two microphones, and use your two ears to enjoy the fun. Times two. Take Two. We'll go back, way back, to the favorite TV shows of our childhood. Your parents' childhood. No.
Try again, Chris. Take two.
We'll take you back to the favorite TV shows of our generation, past and present, and apply them to what's going on in our own lives. Trust us, it'll be a blast. Tune in to Take Two every Monday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Kids channel. There is so much going on in the tech field. The Technology Show is here to sort it all out so that you know exactly what you need to get and what you should avoid. In this age of cell phones and text messaging and new discoveries every single day, you need to be informed. We'll bring you previews of new products, technology news, and help you make the right decision when you are out there buying that new MP3 player, cell phone, or mobile device. Don't do a thing until you've tuned in to The Technology Show. Tuesdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Kids. What are some of the issues that kids face every day? You'll find out when you tune into the appropriately named Today's Kids. Your hosts are here to open the doors to a forum of all kinds of issues. Nothing is off the table here, and because it's on the Voice America Kids channel, you know you're getting a kid's perspective. Tune in every Friday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time for Today's Kids. Your hosts will lead this forum of engaging conversation on Voice America Kids.
Want to know what's going on behind the scenes with your favorite Voice America Talk Radio Network host? How about what's new with our network? Make sure you check out the iRadio blog, a look at what's hot at Voice America and beyond. Visit www.iradioblog.com today. Get the inside scoop on every channel on our network, including breaking news, featured guests, blog posts from our hosts, and much more. Make sure you sign up for our newsletter for even more inside action. Visit iradioblog.com today and stay connected.
You are listening to www.voiceamericakids.com.
Welcome back to the program on Voice America Kids Network. I'm Cassie Frazier, and today we're talking with Hollywood Yates.
We're here having a good time.
Yes, we are. Okay, we're going to start talking again about you.
Okay, it is my favorite subject.
All right, you have been written into various print magazines. Which ones have you been written into?
Oh, well, I mean, they've had me in People Magazine, mm-hmm. Us, InStyle, Time Magazine. I mean, pretty much any magazine that you're going to see at the grocery store mm-hmm. as you're checking out, I've been in it.
That's cool. And what was it like being in print magazines?
Oh, it's great, because every now and then I'd be standing there in line at the grocery store and somebody would be flipping through and they'd look up and see me and look down and see me and look up and see me and like, hey, that's you. And like, yeah, and so I'd sign their magazine.
That's
and
so, that, so
that's,
cool.
That's always cool.
Mm-hmm. And do you ever like have your own magazines at your house?
Oh, I've got all my own magazines.
All your own magazines.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. My wife's been fortunate to be in some of the bodybuilding magazines.
Oh, that's so cool.
And I've been in all these others and a couple bodybuilding magazines. So we keep all that, because mm-hmm. eventually someday, that's your memories.
Right.
And when you start losing your memory, mm-hmm. you're losing your mind,
yeah.
you can at least have the pictures in the magazines and go, hey, that's me.
Mm-hmm. Do your parents make you sign their magazines too?
Not as much anymore.
Not as much.
Mm-hmm. When I first started making it into stuff, but see, even in rodeo, I was always in the newspaper, and mm-hmm. I was always I would start to gather all that stuff, and now I've just got just piles and piles mm-hmm. of stuff, and I don't know what to do with it.
Yeah.
So I need to get like a big mansion, like Elvis did, and turn it into a museum or something.
Yeah, that's really cool. And when your parents are sort of like proud of you, right? Because they can't believe that you're in so many magazines.
Yeah, my mother's very proud of me. My dad is starting to come around a little bit, but my dad mm-hmm. he's been kind of non-existent most of my life, and mm-hmm. That's fine, because had he been around, I probably wouldn't have done everything I've done.
Mm-hmm.
He was kind of a negative person, and my mom is a very positive person.
Mm-hmm.
So she was always telling me, you can do whatever you want. Just, believe in yourself and get out there. And even if it's tough, just keep working at it. Keep trying. And basically told me if I wanted to fly, I could fly. If I wanted to mm-hmm. be president, I could be president. And so I'm kind of glad Dad wasn't around a lot, because mm-hmm. he was always the negative one that would call and tell me what I was doing was wrong, and that I I just kind of let that go away
mm-hmm.
and have become successful in everything I've done. And now, once I got on TV, of course, then Dad started calling,
right.
Once a month to check
mm-hmm.
on me and make sure that everything was okay. And it's like, a little too late,
mm-hmm.
but that's okay. I still love him. He's my dad, but whether he's proud of me or not, doesn't make a difference to me.
Right.
Mom's proud of me.
Mm-hmm.
Grandpa's proud of me.
Mm-hmm.
They were the ones that were there the whole time, so I'm happy.
That's really cool. And now with everything you have accomplished, you're sort of stepping back to your roots with music. What are you doing?
Well, I finished an album about a year ago, and I'm just out there trying to promote it, and I'm trying to get out there and do a lot of shows. I'm calling all my friends in country music, saying, hey, if you have an open spot to open for you, I would love to open
mm-hmm.
for you. And we'll see if that pans out. Eddie Montgomery has, been kind enough to say, come on tour with
mm-hmm.
us, but I haven't heard from their people.
Right.
Once I hear from their people saying, yes,
mm-hmm.
come out on tour, then we'll get out there and we'll have some fun. But so I'm just, pushing the album and trying to push my live shows.
Mm-hmm. What kind of music do you sing?
It's Southern rock, kind of country Southern rock. It's a cross between Johnny Cash, Elvis, ZZ Top.
That's really cool. And how many albums do you have?
I have a whole bunch because I had to buy them in bulk.
Oh.
I have one album out right now, and it's called Hollywood Yates Like We Used To. Mm-hmm. You can find it on iTunes, or you can go to my website, which is hollywoodyates.com, mm-hmm. and find it there. You know, and I'm going to just promote that for a while. I'm not going to try to, you know, put an album out every year right. or anything like that. You know, I want to get, you know, the music that I have going. Mm-hmm. And then I'm also, I want to write my whole next album myself with help of others. But like this album, I only have one of my songs on there. And then all the rest are songs by other great writers. Mm-hmm. Randy Houser wrote one of them. Keith Anderson wrote two. Jeffrey Steele wrote one. I mean, I've got all the best mm-hmm. writers in Nashville on my album.
That's really
but I
cool.
want to write. I want to write mm-hmm. most of my next one myself.
Right. Do you ever listen to your own music?
I do.
You do?
I do. Especially right before I go do a show, you know, because I'll listen to my whole album mm-hmm. over and over just to make sure that I've got all the words, you know.
Right.
I get up there
yeah.
and put the words to my own songs.
Yeah. Is that like kind of your fear? Get up stage and you kind of forget your
I
words.
I mean, I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
But, you know, if I do, I'll make up words.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just got to keep going.
Uh-huh. With everything that you have accomplished so far, what is probably the best experience you've had out of everything you've done?
You know, I've had so many great experiences. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I can't narrow it down to mm-hmm. one, you know. Because I've had some phenomenal experiences in rodeo mm-hmm. that, you know, you just can't beat. You know, walking into the national finals for the first time is very cool. The gladiators, you know, just the amount of fame that, you know, I gained from that was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Getting up on stage and singing in front of, you know, 10,000, 20,000 people is awesome. So they're all different in different ways, so it's hard to narrow it down to that one that's the greatest.
Mm-hmm. And so in the future, you're going to be doing music, right?
I'm going to do everything.
Everything.
I'm still going to do music. Mm-hmm. I'm going to act. I'm going to do stunt work. You know, whatever's going to pay the bills, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
But I will always be entertaining.
That's really cool. You're listening to Voice America Kids Network. I'm Cassie Frazier, and we're talking with Hollywood Yates. All right, I'm going to give you a break.
Okay.
There's so much about you. And we're going to do a Cassie's This or That, but we're going to mix it up and make it a Cassie's Would You Rather.
Would You Rather.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So I'll give you two things. You know, it's pretty easy, and you can just say which one you'd like more.
Okay.
Okay. Would you rather wrestle a man or a bear?
A bear.
Why?
Because they're stronger, and they're a more ferocious competitor. So if I'm going to, you know, wrestle something, I want there to be a competition.
Would you rather sing or act?
I would rather act like I can sing.
Oh, there you go. Loophole. Would you rather drive the car or someone drive you around?
You know, I would normally say I would rather drive the car because I like being in control. I don't mm-hmm. like being in the passenger seat. But I do like being in the back seat
mm-hmm.
while somebody drives me. So that's one of the things I do miss from being on the Gladiators was I always had a chauffeur. So
really?
I'd rather be chauffeured.
That's cool. Would you rather jump rope or walk up a hill?
Probably walk up a hill.
Really? That's cool. Would you rather be in the ocean or on the ocean?
I would rather be in the ocean.
In the ocean. Me too. Would you rather be on the pit crew of a NASCAR or be driving in
driving.
The race? Driving, because you like that adrenaline rush.
The adrenaline rush, and then when you win,
it's the amazing feeling.
All the cameras are on you.
Yeah, there you go. Would you rather be a WWE wrestler or play one on TV?
Well, you're kind of playing one on TV if you are a WWE mm-hmm. wrestler. So I would just say rather be a WWE wrestler.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Would you rather be an Elvis impersonator or a Michael Jackson impersonator?
Elvis. Yes, because he's the queen. I mean, the king.
The king.
And Michael was... they say he's the king of pop, but I say he's the prince.
Would you rather be on Fear Factor or Ripley's Believe It or Not?
Ripley's Believe It or Not, because I don't want to eat gross stuff.
Yeah, I don't think I could do that either. That'd be just, ugh. Would you rather watch the movie you are in or watch a movie that your wife is in?
I would probably rather watch a movie that my wife is in, because I always criticize myself. So when I watch something that I'm in, I go, oh, I could have done that better. Mm-hmm. So,
would you rather talk about religion or politics?
That's a tough one. You know, I'm a very spiritual person, so I would probably rather talk about religion and change people in their hearts, because politics is exactly what it is. It's politics, and you've got a lot of lying going on, and mm-hmm. so I don't want to deal with that.
Yeah. Would you rather drive in L.A. traffic or be stuck on an elevator?
L.A. traffic.
Oh, good, because I couldn't be stuck on an elevator. It's too scary. Would you rather take notes on your iPad or write on a pad of paper?
Write on a pad of paper.
Really? You don't like the iPad?
You know, there's just something about putting pen to paper that makes it much more an art form. Mm-hmm. So when I'm writing songs, or when I'm writing ideas for new television shows, or when I'm writing poetry, I like to put the pen to the paper.
Mm-hmm. That's really cool. Would you rather be filmed or photographed?
Probably filmed.
Why?
Well, because photograph is, it's just a one little deal. Just snap, you're done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whereas filmed, you get to throw out emotion. You get to throw out, you know, you're trying to get a point across.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's another form of art.
That's really cool. Would you rather have long gray hair or short blonde hair?
Hmm. That's tough.
Mm-hmm.
Long as I have my hair, I'll be happy.
Okay. There you go. Would you rather eat with your wife or eat with your mom?
My wife.
Your wife.
Yes.
Would you rather babysit 5 kids or walk 5 dogs?
Walk 5 dogs.
Yeah. Would you rather teach or be taught?
I'm a teacher.
You're a teacher.
I've been a teacher my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I say I do. You know, like when I start getting angry with people, and, you know, I explain to my wife, this is what I do in life. I teach lessons.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Well, thank you so much.
Well, thank
you for coming out here. It was a pleasure meeting you.
It was nice meeting you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was probably one of the best interviews I've done. So
really?
I appreciate you having me.
Well, thank you so much. I'm so honored. Thanks so much for joining us. You have been listening to Runway Role Models with Cassie Frazier on Voice America Kids Radio Network.
Keep it right here. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
The future of online TV is here. View exclusive content from your favorite talk radio hosts and new programs that you can't see anywhere else. Visit voiceamerica.tv today.